And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. You just heard Trick Candle, a cut from Nina Diaz's latest only first solo album, The Beat Is Dead. Nina is a San Antonio singer-songwriter, the front woman for the local indie rock band Girl in a Coma. And Nina joins us to talk about her music and all that other great stuff. If you got a question or a comment for Nina Diaz, give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. And Nina, welcome to The Source.
Hi, that's a lot of numbers there.
That's a lot of numbers there. And yeah, and you're getting a lot of numbers on your first solo album.
Yeah.
So talk about that. How long have you been working on this thing?
Well, this album has been in the works, honestly, for as long as I've been sober, for about 3.5 years. But really, when I first went into the studio, it was about 2 years ago. So it took about a year of actually recording it itself. Didn't take very long. It was the process of shopping it around because I didn't release this album on Blackheart Records. You know, as Girl in a Coma, it was on Blackheart Records.
That's Joan Jett's label,
yeah. And I wanted to do something different with my solo album. Nothing bad there. I just wanted to try something different because that's the whole point of the solo stuff, is to try new things and try to reach a different type of audience, you know. So it didn't take long to record it, and then we shopped it around. And we went for those bigger things just to see, but they just weren't understanding it. Instead of discouraging me, it just made me understand, okay, I'm doing something different and I'm going to stand behind it. And then we ended up releasing on Cosmica Records, which is, I love the indie labels because they give you more attention and they don't have any control over you. So yeah, it's been about two years really promoting the album and me playing it live with my band.
The shopping it around, I mean, to me, you see Nina Diaz and you seem like the complete package. I mean, talented.
Oh, thank you.
Everything about you would scream like you're camera ready. You've got a great sound. You've got a great story. I mean, who wouldn't want to put you
right
on their label?
Exactly.
I mean, you're like money in the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, so what happened there?
I don't know. You know, I don't want to compare myself to like INXS or anything like that, but I watched their movie and, you know, their album Kick, which was like their big album. When they first recorded it, the label was like, we'll give you $1 million to re-record it because we don't understand it. And then the manager's like, but the kids will get it. Like the fans will understand it. And when I saw that part in the movie, it made me think like, okay, well, the bigger labels don't get it, but the fans will get it. And the people will understand that this sound, I am intentionally trying to try something different and not what sells, really, because I kind of just want to awaken all these other groups that have inspired me in the past, try to have a glimmer of that in my music and try to show that to the masses. And if the bigger labels just don't understand that right now, then that's fine, because I know that somehow, some way, with the help of Cosmica Records and with the fans, that this music is going to reach as far as it wants to and needs to go.
Well, the album is only been out just a little, like a few days.
Yeah, which is weird too, because yeah, finally I've given birth to it and it's out, but it feels like, you know, because I've listened to it a lot and we're playing it, I couldn't wait for it to come out. To me, I feel like it was already out, you know, mm-hmm. because when you perform it like people understand it. And that was something I had to get used to as well. When I first performed the music, people were just staring at me and I'm thinking, why aren't you dancing? Why aren't you moving? And after the show, I'm like, done, you know, they don't even know the music yet. So that was a good lesson for me to learn, of really taking the time to communicate both entertainment-wise and through interviews of what this album means to me and what the music means to me.
You can't get too far ahead of the fans.
Exactly.
They have to get the product.
Right.
Absorb it.
That's just the stubborn brat in me that I'm like, understand it already, you know,
hey,
but
it
takes some time.
You know, but so now that it's out, I mean, here with this, the new way that music is distributed, it's an album that, what, is it at Walmart, or how do people get the album?
Well, right now, I still have my Pledge Music campaign that's still going on. We're going to let it go on a little further.
What does that mean?
Pledge Music campaign is kind of like a Kickstarter. It's this website where it goes straight from the fan to the artist, where they can donate some money to me to help pay for the album, because a lot of this was out
of production.
The production, and you can order the CD there. You can get some other cool little packages there, but that's where you can get the CD and the vinyl.
So this
right
is kind of like the way things are done nowadays.
Yeah, and
it's
I like
more
that.
Of an artist to fan relationship.
Yeah, cutting out the middleman, you know, because sometimes that's when things can get a little lost. So that's why I was really welcoming the idea of doing Pledge Music, and so we're going to continue that campaign a little bit longer. But you can also order it on iTunes, which is cool. And hopefully soon I'll have a little shop or something set up on my website. But I have – that's the thing too, man, you know, like finalizing the deals. Like especially when you're sober, deals take so much longer. Like the drug deals were quick.
Oh, yeah.
But these deals, yeah, but then you know, waiting for the contracts.
But then they want to hang around. They
yeah,
want to be your friend. You know,
like,
no.
And this. But here it's like an honest relationship with the label and with the distribution and the publishing. Like it's this long type of – like. Conversation back and forth to make sure everybody's happy. So that's what really took the longest thing to complete for the album. But that's why, again, like I'm glad to be doing Pledge Music campaign, so it's straight from the artist to fan, because that's what I feel like this album really is my story, my connection, for me being vulnerable straight to my audience so they can understand me a little better.
I mean, so, but what does success look like for Nina Diaz? I mean, you should be filling up stadiums like Taylor Swift or somebody.
Oh, that would be cool.
I mean, is that the end goal?
No, actually, you know, people have asked me in interviews and stuff, like, what was the point really of doing the solo stuff, or what are you trying to do? And originally, it was just for me to have some space from what Girl in a Coma was doing, because I've been doing it for half my life, and for me to find my sobriety and to find myself as a woman and a musician originally, and I just wanted to make a great album. Everything else that came along with it, I'll take it, you know, like whether the good days and the bad days. And I do understand that the music here is different from Girl in a Coma. It is a little friendlier to the ear, you know. Yeah, maybe it can actually tap into that other type of
market. It seems like the vocals are more in front.
Yeah, the vocals are more up front. There's more of a dance to it, you know. There's those ballady things. It's like Girl in a Coma songs could go over 4 minutes long. These songs are actually 3 minutes and so many seconds, you know, and that wasn't my intention. It just happened that way. So now I'm left with this amazing album that I'm super proud of. And anything that wants to come my way now, if something I would love to do is Coachella. I would love to do Coachella.
Coachella.
Like, that is something that
what is that?
It's a festival, and it's this festival that's been
I never
on.
Get out.
Oh, no. I only go out whenever I'm playing my shows. I'm usually a very boring person at home. But Coachella is this festival like that everybody has played that I really look up to, and that's something that I would like to do, to play on a really good stage at Coachella, and of course to go overseas with the album. But when it comes to any mainstream thing, I'm welcoming it because I'm actually being myself, you know.
All right, and we're talking with Nina Diaz, yourself here. Got a question or a comment for Nina? We want to hear from you. Her new album is out, 210-614-8982, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this one-minute break, and she's going to play us a song live. Stay tuned.
Find another place to stay. Every time I try to look away, I seem to cave. Oh, in the back of my mind, in the back of my mind. Every time I try to walk away, I scream your name. Every time I try to look away, I'm still the same. Oh, in the back of my mind, in the back of my mind. I don't wanna be the bad one. I wanna be the sad one that you
the shadow on that you find. I don't wanna be the bad one. I wanna be the shadow one that you find. Go on.
Nina Diaz, her new album is out. The Beat is Dead. And thank you so much for performing for us that song. And yes, her voice really does fill the room up. It's amazing to actually see you sing, you know, and have that massive amount of energy coming out of your mouth.
Well, thank you.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or comment for Nina, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. David is on the line. And David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks, David. I'm David from Austin. And in Austin, Nina, you're played quite a bit on the local NPR station there. You mentioned earlier that your music kind of gotten shorter, but more kitschy, more dancier. Is that kind of like what Blondie did also in the late 70s, when Blondie was more punk rock edge and then went to more commercial success dance music? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, David, thanks for calling and appreciate it. So, Nina.
Huh. Oh, so if that's what Blondie was going for?
I mean, are you going into parallel lines?
I think, yeah, right, yeah. Well, I can understand with Blondie because, I mean, I've watched documentaries of them and they were trying to tap into that dance, you know, type of market. With me, like I said, you know, it wasn't intentional that, oh, I want to go into the mainstream. I want this to be popular and like what everybody's listening to or anything like that. It was just an itch that I had in my mind that, because I love to dance. Like if I'm not playing on stage, losing myself, I'm out on the dance floor, losing myself. So I think I just wanted to satisfy that different personality inside of me. And if it has actually helped me evolve a lot as a writer doing that. Because now I am working on some new Girl in a Coma material, but it's helping me find out exactly what point I want to get across in the shorter amount of time. But of course, it's still fun to go and drag on and have like these instrumental parts and craziness. But it's testing me as a writer. So I can see the comparison as far as when Blondie went into that new style as what this album is doing. It wasn't intentional, but I am welcoming it.
Talk about your origin story, the genesis, about how you started Girl in a Coma and how you became a part of, you know, working with your sister.
Well, okay. Long, long time ago, about 15 years ago.
Like you were just 13?
I was 13 years old when I started playing. I was actually 12 years old when I started playing guitar. And Fonny, who's my sister and the drummer of Girl in a Coma, she is the original musician in the family. My brother plays bass too, but he's kind of a shy guy, but he plays for fun. But Fonny and Jen were in a lot of bands when they were younger. When they went to middle school, they met in middle school, and they were in a bunch of bands growing up. And then, of course, there was always a guitar hanging around, so I just started playing with it. And one day, Fonny found a guitar in the dumpster, actually, with a couple of strings on it, an acoustic, and she's like, here's your own guitar. Stop playing with my guitars, basically. And I taught myself, Mary Had a Little Lamb, that was the first thing. I taught myself everything by ear. I don't know how to read music, I don't know how to read tabs, you know, everything's just by ear. And Fonny noticed that I was really getting an interest in playing the guitar, so she started to teach me power chords, which is your basic punk chord. And once you learn power chords, you can really play anything. And so I just started, I was 12 years old, I started playing the guitar, and before I knew it, I was writing my own music. And that naturally just came to me because I always liked to write stories. And I was always an emotional person. My mom can tell you that. Always just going from 0 to 10 very fast. And I figured that writing was the best way for me to let everything out. So, of course, naturally, when I started playing guitar, before I knew it, I was writing full songs with lyrics. And at this time, I'm 13 years old. The girls, Jen and Fani, were thinking about starting a band again. And I would hear them playing with other people, and I wasn't wanting to be in their group. It was just something where, of course, they're my older, I consider Jen a sister. They're like my older sisters, and when you look up to your older siblings, and I kind of wanted them to be proud of me that I was starting to play music. So as they were starting to form a band, one day I just stopped them on their way out, and I was like, hey guys, can you listen to a song I wrote? Because I just wanted their opinion. And I played it, and they were like, oh, whose song is that? And I said, well, it's my song. I wrote it. They're like, that's not a cover. I was like, no, it's mine. And then they kind of gave each other a glance, and they're like, do you want to start a band with us? So that began Girl in a Coma. And there is an eight-year age gap between me and the girls, but they trusted me, you know, to be their front person, to be the main writer for Girl in a Coma. And, you know, cut to a couple years later, 16 years old, first tour, when I was 16 years old, and then 17-year-old is when we got signed to Blackheart Records. So there's really a lot of things I could tell you about the development for Girl in a Coma, but that's really the summary of it, of how we began all those years ago.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question for Nina Diaz from Girl in a Coma, and now with her new solo album out, The Beat is Dead, give us a call, 210-614-8980. Boverdi is on the line. And Boverdi, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for putting her on. I'm surprised. I've never heard you do a musician. How wonderful that she's local. And she's already answered a question. One of my questions, she's writing her own things. But what does indie rock stand for? You know, Trinity University is playing all indie rock. What's that indie about?
Okay, Boverdi, thank you for the call. Good question. And so, Nina, what does it mean to you to be, I mean, indie? What label do you think of your category is?
You know, that's always and I don't want to always give the cliche answer of I don't want to label myself, you know, but I do feel like this type of music can fall into a lot of different categories, but there's just so many different labels these days, but not all of them are bad. I mean, of course, I'd go for the obvious alternative music, but again, everything can fall under alternative, but I think indie maybe come like industrial, you know, indie, and I guess with me that involves like some keys and samples and stuff like that. It's a little more technical.
And it's not straight up commercial.
Yeah, it's not. You know, it's not pop, which is funny though, because on the Apple Apple, I got like pop, like Star, my song Star got like best
on iTunes.
Listed on like for the pop category, which was interesting because I'm like, oh, okay. So that's what I'm saying is I feel like when it comes to me and the labels, I think I can actually fall into anything. But indie, I think indie is open-minded, you know?
But it's an independent.
Yeah, independent. Yeah, exactly. Independent and people, DIY, you know, it's another, you know, punk is punk. But I feel like we take some of that punk mentality and put it into indie where we do a lot of the work together as a community with all the bands together with all of our resources.
So you've mentioned several times about your sobriety and a lot of that story about your finding your sobriety is told in the new record.
Yes. Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit more.
Well, you know, as I said, I started playing music. I was very young and like I said earlier as well, I'm a very emotional person and I have a very addictive personality. Like when I get into something, I get into it, good and bad stuff. And it just so happens I started drinking when I was really young because I hung out with an older crowd.
You're in bars.
Yeah.
13
well, not
years old.
Not necessarily even just in bars, but going to house parties and stuff like that. Like I would just always fall into an older crowd. You know, I don't know if it was because I was a writer or where my mind was, but I would just find I was a lot comfortable with an older crowd. I only had like a handful of friends that were my own age. And even within that, I was the troublemaker and I would get them into trouble and stuff like that. But as I got older, you know, first it began with drinking. And then when I was 16, it was that classic thing. I walked into a room and it was my birthday party actually. And there were people doing some drugs. And I was like, oh, what's this? And I tried it. And then I liked it. And before I knew it, I was doing coke and I was doing it every weekend. And then, so I had been on and off of it starting when I was 16. Right. But my last really bad relapse was 3.5 years ago. And because now I'm 3.5 years sober. And
congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I just fell very, very bad. It was meth, and I'm open about it. And I know when you hear the word meth, you think like, and it is very scary. You can slip into it very fast. And I fell very hard. I lost a lot of weight, and now here you are
on the other side of things.
Exactly, and that's what I feel
and
like this album's
now
about.
Now the release of all that.
Definitely.
And it's all told in the new album. The Beat is Dead. You can find it on iTunes. You can go to your website, find out more about how to get hold of this album, hear all of the cuts. Nina Diaz, it's great to see you again.
You too.
And you
Thank
look great,
you.
And I'm so
Thank
happy
you.
For you. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for calling, and thanks for tuning in.